to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week we have a special broadcast for you. Pastor Jim is interviewing John Speed, pastor of missions and evangelism at By the Word Church in Azle, Texas. John is also the co-producer of two documentaries about the abortion industry. Babies are murdered here, and babies are still murdered here. Please stay with us for this incredibly important edition of Light of the Word Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Jim. I am on the phone today with Brother John Speed, and I am excited about the interview that he and I are going to do, and then also that we're going to share one of his messages. But I'd like to have Brother John just tell a little bit about himself real quick.
Sure. My name is John Speed. Like you said, I'm pastor of missions and evangelism at By the Word Baptist Church in Azle, Texas. And I've co-produced the documentaries Babies Are Murdered Here and Babies Are Still Murdered Here. And, we went viral back in 2019 when we closed our bookstore in New York State and protest the Reproductive Health Act that they passed, and ended up doing a bunch of stuff on various conservative media outlets and stuff like that. And so, that's a little bit about me.
I remember when that was going on, you, if I remember right, you were getting some death threats. You were on, was it Fox and some others?
We were on Fox and Friends, and we were on Sean Hannity's show, and briefly on the Glenn Beck show. So, yeah.
Well, very good. Well, let's get to this. I'm just going to start with the effectiveness of the heartbeat bills. Can you tell us about the effectiveness of the heartbeat bills, and maybe in particular what took place and why it's not such a great victory, the Texas heartbeat bill that just was allowed to go?
Yeah, back in, I think it was May of this year, the Texas legislature voted to pass a bill into law that bans abortions in Texas after a heartbeat is detected, which is usually, I think it's even written into the law, about 6 weeks. And so it's been touted as a great pro-life victory. Today is September 1st when we're recording this, and this is the day that it actually went into effect, supposedly anyway. And there are problems with the bill. There's several of them. One of them I was able to kind of observe today. We went out to the abortion clinic in Fort Worth. The full staff of Whole Woman's Health was there, you know, as usual on a Wednesday. And there were still women coming into the parking lot who are pregnant, who were there for their appointments. My wife called the Whole Woman's Health yesterday to see what they would say on the phone about this new law and everything. And they're still taking appointments as of yesterday morning right through to September 9th. And what they were saying is, well, we won't do abortions after 6 weeks, but if you come in here, you know, we do the testing and whatnot, we can see where you're at. And if it's before 6 weeks, then we can do the abortion. Of course, there's a big problem with this bill is that there's no one to enforce that. You know, it's really dependent upon the abortionists themselves to determine whether or not they're going to obey that law. They've also written into this bill a stipulation where someone can sue anyone who's involved with procuring an abortion up to $10,000. And so the thought is, well, if we can sue them, then they won't want to do abortions because there's a liability. But the problem with that is the Supreme Court has still recognized that Roe versus Wade is a constitutional decision. They haven't repealed that in any way. And so I don't believe for a moment that any judge in this country is going to say, well, you know, I'm going to go against the Supreme Court and rule in favor of this person who's suing the abortionist, suing the Uber driver, suing the boyfriend who coerced them or whatever. I don't believe that any judge will do that because the Supreme Court has said back in 1973 that abortion is constitutional. Of course it's not, but that's how the legal system works. So there are some pretty big problems with this. And so far I've got friends all across the state today who are telling me that the abortion clinics are still open. They still have appointments coming in. It's evident that they're doing some kind of abortion, whether it's really true that they're all 6 week or, you know, before 6 weeks is another issue. You know, it's really kind of it's a deception, really. They're trying to make it look like something major has happened when there are enough loopholes here, they can probably get around it. One of those loopholes, I know I've gone on for a while here, but one of those loopholes is the fact that, you know, if there's a medical emergency, that the woman can still have the abortion in that case. And so I suspect that what they'll do is they will make that, because the law does not define what a medical emergency is, they'll make it very broad. And if someone's like feeling depression or something like that, they'll probably, you know, consider that a medical emergency. So there's quite a few problems with it. It's just not a just law. It's not providing a impartial justice for the baby for 6 weeks or after 6 weeks. So, yeah, that's the issue.
John, you said that this is just not a just law. And that was very intentional, the way you said that. And that makes me have to ask the question, why are the pro-life people so excited about these heartbeat bills?
Well, it looks really good. I mean, it just looks like this is a great victory. It plays well with, as far as the organizations are concerned, it plays well with the supporters. They can go back to their supporters and their donors and say, look, we've effected this great victory, and so you should keep on giving financially to us so that we can end abortion altogether. The other thing that it does is the pro-life Republicans that support the politicians that support these bills obviously get their voting base, you know, excited about it and stirred up. And so in the next election, they can claim that they had this great pro-life victory. You know, they will be able to continue to, you know, it's about money, donations to the pro-life organizations. And it's about votes for the pro-life politicians. But these same people, unfortunately, in Texas, have opposed bills that would abolish abortion immediately. So, for example, in this last session, there's a bill called HB 3326. That was a bill that would end abortion immediately in the state of Texas. A pro-life Republican named Stephanie Click was the chairwoman of the committee to hear that bill, and she never allowed that bill to go to committee, even though there are many people testifying in favor of it. And so that's just one example of how even pro-life Republicans will work against bills of abolition in order to just sort of keep the status quo going.
I appreciate at this point if you just kind of give us how you would define the difference between pro-life and abolitionist.
Pro-life basically is it's a very positive term. That's meant to say, well, you know, we support life. And I mean, who's going to go against that, right? Like, we all want to be pro-life, I guess, to some degree. Nobody's anti-life, right? But the term has historically been used to describe the position politically of those who are against abortion in some form or another. People have been considered pro-life who have supported abortion in cases of rape and incest. People have been considered pro-life if they would support abortion for the sake of the life of the mother or any kind of medical reason. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that they are looking to end abortion. It just means that they are seeking to sort of regulate abortion with the hopes that eventually that with enough regulation, it'll go away. An abolitionist, on the other hand, is somebody who wants to see abortion end immediately and without compromise. And so we don't want to see any exceptions when it comes to abortion because it's murder. It's the intentional taking of another human life with malice aforethought. And so we want to see equal justice for the life inside of the womb as life outside of the womb. So if a woman, or if anyone, you know, if somebody gets an abortion, And, you know, they take the life of their own son or their daughter. We think they should get the same punishment that someone would get out if they did that for their son or their daughter, or anyone else for that matter, outside of the womb. And so that, I think those are the main differences. Another main difference between pro-life and abolition is that abolition is gospel centered. We want to bring the gospel and the word of God to bear on the legislators when we're talking to them, but we also want to bring it to bear on the abortive parents when we're at the abortion clinics. We want the gospel to be the thing that's proclaimed and not just sort of, hey, having your baby is better than killing your baby. You know, we want to come at it from a biblical perspective and offer people real hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
From a biblical perspective, as Christians, isn't that the place that we should all be standing? What does the scripture say? What does God say about any given subject?
Amen. I mean, you know, they will say in the pro-life world that we need to change minds to change hearts. And what they mean by that is we need to change people's minds and reason with them about abortion. But I don't know any better way to change minds and hearts than by the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It takes a person who's dead in their trespasses and sins and gives them life. If we don't make the gospel the main issue, whether it's in the Capitol buildings or out in front of the abortion clinics, what's going to happen is people will change their minds back to being pro-choice depending on circumstances in their lives. Whereas if somebody repents and believes the gospel, they're going to have a new heart with new desires and a new mind where that just doesn't even become an option anymore. And so, yeah, these other things are temporary band-aids, but the gospel is a permanent fix on that front.
Amen. Thank you for saying that, because that's exactly how I feel about it. It is the gospel that regenerates. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes the minds and the hearts of men and women and allows them to see just what it is that they're doing. And I think I shared this once before on one of the programs, but you know, one of our groups was up to the abortion clinic in Kansas City, and they were talking to a young man whose girlfriend was getting ready to have an abortion, and he said he was a Christian, and he told our folks that he would repent tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
What a misunderstanding of the gospel. What a misunderstanding of who Jesus Christ is. We have preached a weak, watered-down version of what our Lord and Savior has to say, that the people no longer have an understanding. There was a time when even the lost had some understanding, but now many who call themselves Christians don't. And I believe that's the reason that abortion is alive and well within the church. What's
right.
Your thought on that?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. So many churches, you don't have solid, solid preaching of the gospel, right? There's no expectation that people will repent when they come to faith in Christ. There's no expectation that when they come to faith in Christ, there's actually a new heart with new desires, you know, the old things passing away and all things becoming new. They don't really expect that anymore. And so we see that as a lot here in Texas as well. In Fort Worth, we'll see people pull up with bumper stickers from some mega church or something, or like a Christian radio station, or, you know, they'll even tell you, like you said, they'll say, well, you know, I know it's a sin, but you know, I'll just seek forgiveness later. Titus chapter 2 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. But then in verse 12, it goes on to say, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. So the grace that we receive, or we claim that we have, should teach us something about denying ourselves and denying sin, and we certainly don't use it as an excuse to go ahead and murder our own children. So there's a false grace, you know, a cheap grace that's out there that people think they have, but if they really experience the grace of God, it's going to teach them to do a lot differently than to show up at an abortion clinic and murder their own child.
You know, this is a heartbreaking subject. It is a heartbreaking thing to see. And I believe you're right, what you said earlier about the fact that people's hearts are broken, and yet they aren't moved to do anything. And that's a very sad thing in itself. What is it that the abolitionists can do and do better to end the abortion?
Well, one thing we have to, abolitionists, we do a pretty good job of, you know, defining biblically what the law ought to look like. I think the difficulty for us as we reason with people that are typically pro-life is we have to learn to be patient with people. We weren't always there. We didn't always understand this the way that we do now. And part of that is our sanctification. You know, we've grown spiritually. So we need to be patient with others who just aren't there yet. For a long time, you know, I wasn't always an abolitionist. For a long time, I was very much typically pro-life. I would just vote for pro-life candidates, maybe give some money to a local crisis pregnancy center or something, and kind of feel like, okay, I've done my duty on this front. But with people that, you know, they've been dealing with 47 years of pro-life teaching on the subject, it's going to take a little bit of time, you know, to just show them biblical concepts. So we need to learn to be patient with them and be loving with them. And I think if we can do that, then, you know, people will come along, you know, in time. I think that's one thing.
And I agree with that. And I think also it's getting that message out to them. Because I myself, a year ago, would have told you I am very firmly pro-life. And then I saw what the difference between pro-life and abolition was. And I could no longer call myself pro-life. I wanted to end abortion. And I think if we were to go to the scriptures and to form our mind according to the scriptures, or renew our mind according to the scriptures, abortion would be unthinkable. Isn't that the goal that we should have?
Yeah, I think it should be unthinkable. It's going to happen only through the gospel. There are some people in the pro-life movement that go, well, yeah, you know, we want abortion to be unthinkable. Some of them, what they mean by that is, well, we don't really want to make it illegal. We just want to make it so that no one would even want to do it anymore. That's not going to happen apart from the gospel. And that's the one thing that they're not very good at using out in front of the clinics or in their post-abortive counseling, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I definitely want it to be unthinkable on one hand, but I also want it to be illegal. and I know that people will still get abortions. The argument goes, well, they'll still get abortions even if you make it illegal. You know, they'll just go somewhere else to get them, somewhere illegal. And that's true, because I was reading an article from a Reader's Digest in 1940 the other day, and they were estimating that there were somewhere around 500,000 abortions a year in the United States back in 1940, long before abortion was considered constitutional. And so it's true that they will continue to do that. But in a society that, you know, that should care about what's just and unjust, abortion should be unthinkable and it should be illegal, because it's murder. It's just, by definition, it's murder. And so it should be both of those things, illegal and unthinkable.
You touched briefly earlier about the fact that there should be a penalty for it, and it should be the same as if they were to murder their child after it was born. And
right.
I would agree. I think a lot of people get stuck here, and we've talked about this from time to time with our messages, but I think people get stuck here because they don't understand the purpose of the punishment or the consequence. They think it's just a way to get at people who are doing something we don't like, but it is still murder. Can you just address that for a second?
Sure. I think what it comes down to, especially when we're talking about this within the church, is a lot of Christians think, well, shouldn't we as Christians show grace to those who are sinful, right? I mean, that's what we talk about in regards to the gospel. So shouldn't we show grace? And what I usually try to explain to them is that that's a category error. Yes, it's true that as Christians in the church, we show grace to sinful people. But when we're talking about the government, their job, according to Romans 13, is to bear the sword against the evildoer. So it's a category error if we say to the government, well, we want you to show grace. You don't want the government to show grace if somebody comes and kills your child, right? I mean, you know, if somebody murders my child, I don't want them showing grace. I want them to bring the whole force of the law against the murderer. And the same thing is true in this case, unless we're unconsciously saying that the life in the womb is somehow less important than life outside of the womb. And I think that's the message that the pro-life movement gives inadvertently. Every time they demand like a $10,000 fine rather than, you know, the same penalty that they would get in Kansas or in Texas if they had murdered someone outside of the womb. And I think it's really a weakness of the pro-life movement. They're just being completely inconsistent. You can't say that the life in the womb is human life and not expect there to be equal justice for that life inside the womb.
Well, as we start to wrap this up a little bit here, I'd like to ask you, do you have any projects that you're working on now that are exciting to you?
Yeah, it's not directly abortion related, but it will have great ramifications that way. I'm a partner in a Christian streaming service called Lore, LOOR.TV. Hopefully it'll be a place where people can fund films and stream them in the same location, kind of a combination of Kickstarter and Netflix. And the reason why I'm excited about it is because I know that we have several projects coming up when we launch that will be dealing with the abortion issue. So, for example, there's an animated series that's being done by some former Disney animators called Exposed that will deal with abortion issues, these sorts of issues regarding abortion. And Kevin Sorbo just signed on recently to do the voiceover for some of those episodes. So we're really excited about that. Laura Clausen of Choice for Two is really the one who's behind that. And so we're really excited about that, about the possible impact that could have on the culture in exposing what abortion really is. And then we also have a couple of other projects that will be abortion-related that will also be there, a couple of documentaries and another animated project that will also be addressing abortion, among other things. So I'm pretty excited about the fact that, you know, we can do something like that that will cover a multitude of bases, but abortion is definitely going to be one of those things that we're addressing.
Amen. We are hoping very soon to get an interview in with Laura Clausen over this. I'm excited to talk to her and to let people know about the launch and what they are doing there. I want to thank you for your time today. I know you're a busy man, and I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to visit with us, and look forward to seeing you. I guess you'll be here in Kansas here in about 3 weeks or so.
That's right. Yeah, we'll be screening the second film that I co-produced called Babies Are Still Murdered Here, and I'll be doing a Q&A afterwards It's going to be at your church, isn't it?
It is. It is. It is here in this old building of ours. We'll look forward to spending some time with you. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Fighting against abortion with the power of the gospel is the only hope that we have to end the scourge of abortion in this land. But honestly, it begins with applying the gospel to the darkness in our own hearts as we think about this issue. God tells us in Exodus 23, "Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked." The simple fact of the matter is that we who have allowed this plague to continue will answer to God for our sin. We, the church, are responsible for this sin, and we, the church, must repent and destroy the evil that we have allowed to abide in our land. Scripture is plain. The church leads, the nation follows. When we step back and allow them to lead, we are still responsible for the sin. Beloved, I beg you, repent of your own involvement and rise up to join the fight to end abortion in this land. May God strengthen all of our arms for the fight that we can no longer avoid. Thank you for joining us today. Please know that we would love hearing from you. If you want to hear more of our ministry, you can find us on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we would like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. I thank you for joining us each week for our program on your station. As we put these programs together, we want to bring good, solid preaching that is biblical, that you can go back to the Word of God and see. We want to bring you interviews and sermons from friends who are in the ministry in different places that are on the front lines. Today you've heard from Brother John Speed. In fact, the next 2 weeks you'll be hearing from Brother John Speed. He is on the front lines fighting for the unborn. These babies who are being killed in the womb, who have done nothing against society, have not done anything that they should be murdered in that way. Brother John not only speaks, he has put together a documentary with some others. Brother John has worked hard in the state of Texas to stand for these unborn. Brother John actually came and spoke here in Kansas at our church. He also has done a documentary that you can find online. Now, there's so many things that he's out there doing to try to raise awareness of just what abortion is. If you're like me, I have always said that I was pro-life. Absolutely pro-life. No qualms about it. I opened up my eyes and I saw that I was not standing for these children. I said I was pro-life, I said I was against it, and I stood back and just let it happen. I don't want to be one who just stands back and watches children be killed. I want to stand in the gap for these babies. And I'm sure you're going to want to too. So don't miss in the next 2 weeks with Brother John Speed. And if you have questions, there's a number of resources that would be glad to answer your questions and tell you how you can be involved. Until next time. Sola Deo Gloria.